talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. -59 degrees. The wind is out of the north, about 3 miles an hour, gusting up to 4 miles an hour. So hold on to your hats. Dew point, Nathan Brewer dew point is 36. The humidity is 42%. Just a gorgeous day out there, man. We need some rain. Everybody knows that, but I can use the radio to whine on. I need some rain terribly. There's all kinds of things going on. My community calendar on Today in Ag is pretty busy, but it's getting down to D-Day on some of this stuff. Christmas giveaway. 4 businesses are each giving away a $500 gift certificate to their store. Rogers Meat Market, Barbed Wire and Lace, the Cherokee Trading Post, and Boot Outlet. And Dameron Jewelry's downtown Elk City, right there where Dameron is. Find the store's QR code, open your iPhone camera app, hold the camera steady on the code, and then follow the instructions. You can enter each day, once a day. Rogers Meat Market giveaway is this coming Friday, the 3rd of December. Bob Wire and Lace is Thursday, December 16th. Friday the 17th will be for Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet. Hey, and if you heard this on the Today in Ag show and you win that $500 gift certificate to the Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet, you get a pair of boots and I get a pair of boots. So that's the way this thing works. No, I'm just kidding you. And Dameron's jewelry will be on Saturday, December 18th. $500 each for one of those. Rogers Meat Market in Elk City, Bob Wire and Lace in Elk City, Cherokee Trading Post and Boot Outlet East Elk Clinton. They're at the Cherokee Trading Post exit, I always call it, and Dameron's Jewelries right here in Elk City. So get it loaded up, get their QR codes and get going. Also, before I get into my grain report, today, I will have Kent Watkins on here with SEI Agritech. We're going to be talking about, we got some good stuff to talk about. I've been talking to him this morning, and I talked to him a little bit about some stuff yesterday. Kent is good. That's all I got to tell you about it. He's pretty good in what he knows, and I love talking to him. He'll be on here in a few minutes. But we are streaming live on Facebook. You can also download the Paragon app on your phone. If you're away from home or don't have any radio signal or whatever, just turn it on that. You can hear all of our radio stations on there, including Paragon TV. And also, we're on KECOFM.com. And you can listen to all the shows, whether it be the early morning show, the oil and gas show with Sean and Butch, Drew on the Tradio, and then we have the Farmio that I'm on, and then we got the Drive Home with Drew on the afternoon Backroad show. So anyway, we got all kinds of good stuff on this radio station and our apps, so check them out if you hadn't checked them out. Well, grain prices, as of 11 o'clock in Oklahoma, the cash grain prices, hard red winter wheat was $7.84. It's hanging in there. It's not taking a hit like it did Monday. Corn is $5.71 a bushel. Milo is $5.74 a bushel. Soybeans at $11.70 a bushel. And corn down a penny from yesterday at $1.11 a pound. Wheat futures rebounded in overnight trading Wednesday on signs of strong global demand and concerns about world supplies. Egypt, the biggest importer of the grain, bought 600,000 metric tons of wheat from international supplies for delivery in January. According to the country's General Authority for Supply Commodities, the North African nation bought 240,000 metric tons of Romanian wheat, 240,000 tons of Russian wheat, and 120,000 tons of Ukrainian wheat. Excessive rainfall in Australia and ongoing export levies in Russia are threatening global supply. Rainfall is expected to increase in the eastern third of Australia next week, which will continue to slow the harvest and may result in quantity problems. Russian wheat has risen for six straight weeks due to strong demand, according to the report this morning from the Agriculture Development Board. Prices last week were at $340 per metric ton, up $6 a ton from the previous week. The Russian export levy is scheduled to rise today to $80.80 from $78.30 per ton. Soybeans and corn are also higher in overnight trading, rebounding from double-digit losses on Tuesday. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 6.25 to $7.93.5 a bushel overnight at the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 5.5 cents to $8.27.75 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery was up 4.5 cents to $5.72 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery added 9.5 cents to $12.26.75 a bushel. Soy meal rose $1.60 to $343.40 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.62 cents to 55.83 cents a pound. Farmers face tough questions as fertilizer prices rise. Growers are facing some difficult decisions this year as nitrogen fertilizer prices have been rising in recent weeks. Anhydrous ammonia prices in mid-November were at $1,343 a ton in Illinois. That's up $138 per ton from 2 weeks ago. Since July, prices are up 84%. In the past year, they have more than tripled, according to this report from the University of Illinois and Ohio State University. Urea prices rose $55 to $866.67 a ton in the 2 weeks through November 18th, the USDA said. Liquid nitrogen prices are now at $563 a ton, and that's up $37.50 from the start of November. There's just no end to it. Everything's going up. One item is certain from an economic standpoint, almost all farmers should be reducing nitrogen application rates in 2022. For one, producers can increase soybean acreages while reducing corn areas, far as less nitrogen is used to grow soybeans than in corn production. The downside to this strategy is, while uncertainty over 2022 market conditions remain high, some profitability projections for corn are currently above those for soybeans. A study done by economists show if corn prices are at $5.20 a bushel and bean prices are at $12 a bushel, corn is more profitable. If corn is at $5 a bushel and soybeans remain at $12 a bushel, then the profitability tilts into the favor of the beans. As it stands, prices for fall delivery in 2022 are now at $5.25 a bushel for corn and $12 for soybeans. So that conversation just didn't get nowhere. So at those prices, corn minus soybean return is $41 per acre, giving the advantage to the corn. Another strategy, they said, is to apply in the fall. While conditions haven't been ideal in some areas, Illinois, for example, a window may be opening. Farmers who bought nitrogen below $1,000 a ton should apply in the fall for the price to be effective. The other option is to split applications, which allows producers to manage risk by pricing fertilizer several times throughout the season. One scenario, they said, is to apply 75% of the maximum return to nitrogen rate and use the rest after planting. This strategy would allow for pricing at 2 points, one in the fall and once after planting. Moreover, the second application after planting could be skipped or reduced if plant conditions suggest that additional nitrogen will have limited impact on yields or nitrogen fertilizer prices continue to be high. Well, I'm going to save the question. I'm thinking, well, no, he's putting his headphones on. We're going live with Kent. How about putting 75% of fertilizer down right now in Oklahoma, especially in our area? How's that going to work out?
Not going to work out very well at all.
It's not.
We don't have the clay in the soil here to hold that up for you.
Yeah, I was just sitting there reading that. I said, this is for up there. This ain't for down here. So anyway, well, Ken is here live in the studio with me, but we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we got all kinds of stuff to talk about. So we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. With two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Man, Kent, temperature has risen dramatically since you got here. It started out, it was 59, now we're at 63. Humidity's at 35. The wind is calm now. There's not even a wind gust out there. Dew points at 35. Well, Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech, welcome to the first Wednesday of the month.
First Wednesday of the month. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no. I love having you here. You're just full of stuff I love listening and hearing about. What do we got going today?
Okay. The first thing that I do on every show, and I'm going to ask it again, how many years will you wait until you adopt the new paradigm of no-till cover crops? Will you wait one more year? Will you wait five more years? Will you adopt it? Or will you wait until your equity is completely gone? Gone. That's what's going on right
yep.
now. That's a rhetorical question, so answer that for yourself, and we'll go forward. Going forward, I'd like to talk a little bit about soil sampling and fertilizer applications.
Something that you and I have been talking about the last 2 days
yeah.
about.
Okay, so the summer crops are basically in now. They're either rolled up at the end of the field or they're ginning or whatever. The corn's been in for a while. So as guys continue to make plans for next year's crop, and I'm going to tell you, in the face of chemical pricing and fertilizer prices, it is going to be extremely hard to make a profit in the cotton field next year. Extremely hard. Now would be a really good time to do some soil sampling. It's a monotonous job. I hate to do it. It's just mind-numbing to go out there and pull soil samples.
But it's the best thing to
It's the one thing you can do that is probably one of the most important things to do. I would recommend that you not send Junior out to do it because if you give him four or five fields to go sample and he's back in 2 hours, you can bet the last two samples were gotten out of a gopher mount. So I would recommend you guys do this yourself. Or send somebody you can trust to do it right.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head with that one because yesterday I went a 140-acre field, and it took me a full 45 minutes just to do that field.
You're doing it right, it should.
Yep.
If you're going to use the old chemical ag lab type sample, if that's the kind of results you want and the kind of report you want, you can send those to any commercial lab or university lab, and you'll get those. A new one that is out there that is one that I'm recommending, and it's Regen Ag Labs. They're out of Nebraska, and that's R-E-G-E-N Ag Labs. That is a soil health type lab. And you can go online and find them, and their forms and everything are online, and you can get that information from them. But the report you're going to get, it's more expensive, but the report you're going to get back is heads and shoulders above anything that we're currently doing. So whenever you're doing the sampling, it's obviously 0 to 6 inches, and on a full quarter, you know, make sure your shovels are clean and your buckets are clean, and get 12 to 15 samples around that quarter. Mix it all up. Make sure your hands are clean when you're doing that, and get a quart size Ziploc bag. Fill it about a half full and send it in.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now, and I got it up in just a few minutes.
So. The man that interprets those numbers up there, his name is Lance Gunderson. He's well respected and very knowledgeable. If you choose to use that lab, you get the report back. If you want me to interpret those for you, just call me at the office.
Right.
Come by. I'll be happy to do that for anybody.
Yeah.
It's important.
Well, it's great. Well, you're listening to Today in Agriculture on 96.5 KCO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and I'm talking to Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech, and we're talking about soil samples, and I'm even doing water samples where I got irrigation.
A guy should. If you're going to do that, run the pivot for 30 minutes to 45 minutes, clear that well bore, and make sure that you're getting a representative sample of what you're actually pumping on that ground.
Right.
If you are in an area where you maybe suspect saline, that's very important.
Yeah.
These crops really can't take much of that.
Yeah, we've been having that conversation for 2 days right on that subject.
So let's talk about the macros, fertilizer,
okay.
The N, P, and K, and I'm going to start in the reverse order. Potash, if you want to put out potash, remember that when you get your results back, your report back, it's going to be reported in parts per million. Most agronomists will tell you 100 parts per million is adequate. 100 parts per million is not adequate. 300 parts per million is adequate. 300 parts per million is adequate. And the reasoning for that is because of the way that potash breaks down. You can, if you want to, now would be a good time to spread potash. Now, through December and January, would be a good time to spread potash for your cotton and your peanuts, either one. It's not going to be used up by, let's assume you have wheat or rye or something out there now. That crop is not going to be using it at all. It won't become available till next spring anyway. So the potash would be now would be a good time to do.
Put it down.
Yep. And I would recommend that you go ahead and get it because it may not be readily available next spring.
I know. Yep. It's, you ever thought you'd see the crazy world we're living in right now?
I've seen not this crazy. I've seen fertilizer spike before on phosphorus, and it went from $1,300 a ton to about $600 a ton in a period of about 4 or 5 months, because what happened was the manufacturers gouged too hard, and they created demand destruction. People quit using it.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen this time, too. People are going to quit using it. They're going to suffer through, especially in the southern plains. They're going to suffer through 1 year or 2 years, whatever it takes. But these crazy, stupid high prices are not going to hang in there. But it's not going to be a quick fix issue.
Right.
Because what they're going to do this year is choke supply so that that price is high. And I can tell you that that $800 fertilizer that we're complaining about today will be $1,200 in the spring.
At least.
Yes. And I guess the upside to that is it's going to be very unavailable. So you're probably not going to have to pay it anyway, because you probably won't be able to get it.
And why do you think we're not going to be able to get it? Just because of the supply chain? Just because of trucking and the whole nine yards?
Yeah, that's what they're going to use.
That's what
the manufacturers are going to do, whatever they're going to do. And I can tell you, from my years in the business, they don't base any pricing or availability off the southern plains. Everything in fertilizer is geared for the Midwest.
Right.
And if they can make another $300 a ton and ship it to the Midwest, it's going to the Midwest.
They're not going to worry about us people in Oklahoma and Texas.
They do not care.
They don't care.
They do not care, and it's just a market thing. Those people up there on nitrogen, let's say they'll put down three or 400 pounds, maybe 500 pounds of nitrogen. It's typically what they do, depending on their area and their rainfall. If they want to mess with a wheat top dress of 100 pounds when they know they can take that same product and move it to the Midwest and sell four times as much on a third of the acres and make the same profit or more, that's what they're going to do.
You think that more people out here in, like, for our area right here are going more to liquid because of that?
It won't matter. It won't matter? No, it won't matter, because the cost of, let's assume we're talking about nitrogen, the cost of N is going to be relatively the same on a pound of N. Doesn't matter if it's in anhydrous, urea, nitrate, nitrogen, or liquid, 32 or 28. It won't matter, because the cost per pound of N will relatively be the same. It just won't matter.
I remember a few years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, it might have been 18. Remember when we had those two great big rains in May, mm-hmm. and the whole state of Oklahoma was underwater? And talking to the local fertilizer guy over at Sayre, he said they couldn't get any because they're using the excuse of they couldn't get any
barges up the river,
which we know they were there because we seen that one go under that one dam.
Yeah.
I remember it was one or two of those big barges of fertilizer went under that dam, and everybody was worried about the pollution. It was diluted so fast it wasn't even fun. But, man, it skyrocketed there for a while.
And then
all of a sudden it's come back down to normal.
Getting back to the potash, put it out now. You'll run out of checkbook long before you run out of need for it. I promise you that.
Right.
When we go to phosphorus, for a row crop, people, it's a percent sufficiency. So don't broadcast it. Place it in the row or beside the row if you have the equipment to do that.
Right.
It'll be a lot cheaper on you.
Okay.
To do that. And those things you can, if you'll look at your soil report, and if you did a good job gathering the soil to begin with, it'll pretty much tell you the story and give you a good indication of what you need to do. And I can tell you, on all these fertilizers, it's going to be a slow process, because we cannot, in the southern plains, we cannot afford to fix all this in one year.
Right.
You cannot. It just won't work at all.
Won't work.
So work towards that and move forward.
Well, let's take a break real quick, and we'll pick up right where we stopped, just there. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I am speaking with Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech. We're talking about soil sampling, fertilizers, and he just got started on the potash, and we're going to continue on to our next subject, so we'll be right back after this.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 19th. 1,721 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 442 brought 203, 5 at 506 brought 155, 11 at 632 brought 143, 14 at 653 brought 147, 7 at 799 brought 143, 9 at 991 brought 132, 10 head of heifers at 324 brought 176, 19 at 489 brought 142, 4 at 566 brought 135, 3 at 635 brought 122, 5 at 725 brought 133, 7 at 772 brought 135.50. Butcher cows were 20 to 66.50. Bred cows, 375 to 1385. Butcher bulls, 60 to 87. Pairs brought 635 to 1610. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Are there any beef eaters out there? Well, sink your teeth into this. The Elk City Rotary Club's giving you a chance to win a side of beef and a freezer to keep it in with the beef sweepstakes. Get one ticket for $25 or five tickets for just $100. Go by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City to get your tickets. Grand prize is a side of beef and a freezer. Second and third prizes are a quarter beef each. Winners chosen December 11th at 8 p.m. at Elk City's Christmas in the Park in Ackley Park. Beef up your Christmas and help some great local projects with the Elk City Rotary Club's Beef Sweepstakes.
Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Yep, I'm back, and let's see here. Still around 63 degrees, wind still calm, and the humidity's the same at 35, the dew point's at 35. Well, we were talking about potash, Mr. Kent.
Okay, so that pretty much tells the story on the potash. Use 300 as your benchmark, 300 parts per million. Most everybody is well under 150, so it takes some time to get that built up, but you can over time. And then the phosphorus is a percent sufficiency, and your soil report will tell you where you are on that. The biggest macronutrient that we use, obviously, is nitrogen. I've been preaching to guys for 6 or 7 years to get legumes in their cover crops. This would have been a really good fall to put winter legumes in your cover crops, because you could have fixed 60 pounds of nitrogen easily for about $15 an acre. That's 25 cents a pound. If you use urea as your main source of nitrogen, and let's say that urea cost $1,000 a ton next spring, because you can't put it out now because it'll be way too deep.
Yep.
So if you use $1,000 as your benchmark, it costs you about $1.10 a pound of nitrogen to get 60 pounds. That means that you gave the big box retailer $45 an acre. Just gave it to them for fertilizer. If you have 1,000 acres, the cowboy math that I use, you just gave them $45,000.
What would it cost them by putting a legume in their cover crop?
$15.
Yep.
$15. A quarter, 25 cents per pound of N. And then all you would have had to do at that point, I'm talking about dry land.
Right.
Dry land cotton. All you would have had to do at that point is put in a little starter fertilizer to get the crop going and not worry about it.
And a little rain.
And a little rain.
Yep.
You're going to have some help from Mother Nature no matter what goes on.
and no matter when, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It's dry this year. Last year, we just got a couple of good rains to get it going.
Yep.
But it was going.
Right. And right now, if you have fields of cotton or peanuts that are out and you want to do this, you still have time to do it. You may not be able to fix 60 pounds, but you could probably fix 40 pounds of N. I mean, it's not like we're trying to hustle up and beat a rainstorm here. So if you want the legumes, I'm completely out, but I can point you to people who do have hairy vetch, Austrian winter peas. Those are two that'll make it. And get them drilled. Get them in there. And, do your level best to offset this high-priced commercial fertilizer.
Yeah, you got to start thinking now.
Yeah, it's and this year in the cotton field, this year is a good example. If we had not had really high prices over a dollar for cotton, this year would have just been another break even or loss on cotton because the yield wasn't really there. Right. It looked a lot of these dryland fields looked like two bale, and they've turned out to be a bale to a bale and a quarter. I know somebody's out there saying I made a bale and a half. Okay, I'm just talking generally.
Overall.
And I know of some that made just maybe two-thirds of one bale. That's not going to break even.
No.
I mean, it might this year. That would probably be a break even this year. But going into next year, with the cost of fertility and the cost of ag chemical, you're not only going to have a really good price, you're going to have a really good yield.
Right.
And we rarely get both here.
Right.
So I would be doing some things to alleviate some pressure on the checkbook now, because next spring it'll be too late.
There was a gentleman on here about a little over a month ago, and he said this. He said, farmers got a smile on their face right now because their crops have been good. The grain prices and the cotton prices, poundage, their prices are up. But he said, wait till you start going, putting it back in next year.
Exactly right.
And it's going to, you better figure something out.
Well, this year was the first year since 2017 that the cotton farmers, in general, again, have made a profit. The last 5 years have been either break even or they've lost money. And it's because the price was not very good and the yields were just average.
Right.
We had another average yield this year. In all reality, we had another average yield. So we were lucky that we had a price come to the rescue, but I wouldn't
can't bank on that.
I wouldn't try to bank on that. Everything's up in the air. We don't really know, how it's going to go forward. I can just about tell you that the input side of it is going to be high for a few years. 22 for sure, probably 23 and maybe into 24. But for the next year or two, you can look for stupid high prices on ag chemicals. I mean, I could have drowned you in $15 Roundup 2 years ago.
Right.
Or even at the beginning of 21 in January. And now for this next year, 5.5-pound glyphosate, they're talking about $65 a gallon. And it's set for $80 a gallon. Because that's where it's headed. In season, that's where it's going to be.
I got two things I want to ask you. First one is, you're talking about the nitrogen for this fall going into next spring. Can you do the same thing next summer going into the fall?
Sure. Yes. And I would. You need to be thinking further out than, the next couple of months. You need now, they have forced you to think about a year to a year and a half, maybe 2 years out.
Yeah.
And what you're going to do, how your rotation benefits you, and where a field of this crop, after that crop terminates, what crop will it benefit going forward, the residue and leftover nitrogen that's in the soil, that's banked up in your soil, how will it benefit the next crop? Now, what cotton guys have told me was, you talk about the cover crops, the legumes in the wheat or rye or triticale, whatever they're planting to keep the ground from blowing away, they get concerned about being able to kill those things out. I can promise you the amount of 2,4-D and dicamba that's used in the cotton field, it's not going to survive. So you'll get a kill just with your normal rates of dicamba or 2,4-D on your hairy vetch and Austrian winter pea. Don't worry about that. That's not even going to be a concern. You can still put those in. They may or may not come up right now, but they if they don't now, they will overwinter as good viable seed, and they will come up and germinate in February and come up. And they'll be
and
just
I've
fine.
I've seen some of it do that, too.
They'll be just fine.
One gentleman just texted in. He said, Roundup is over $60 here, Big Jim. It's all, and he has a LOL. He said, it's already over.
I know that.
And it's crazy. So now I got to remember what my next question was.
Well, let me.
You keep going. I'll figure it out.
One of the big giant manufacturers has already told their distributors that, yes, they will likely get the majority of their glyphosate for next year, and you can count on it being $10 to $15 higher than it is right now.
Man.
That's pretty, that is hard to swallow anyway, but it's really bad when you're talking about a product that doesn't work very well anymore anyway.
Right.
I mean, it makes you want to choke somebody.
Makes you want to puke.
Yep. Because I didn't know if I could say that on radio.
Apparently
I just can.
Did. So,
but you need to be thinking forward on all this, and you need to think forward more than 1 year, because that's the game that they've put you in, and those are the cards you're dealt.
I've read a lot of stories in the last month or two from ag economists on reports that I read every day when I get here. And that seems to be the thing that they're repeating, is that you need to get out of your tomorrow mindset.
Yep.
And start thinking about 12 to 18 months down the road.
For a while, I think that's correct.
And it's going to hurt your bank book a little bit,
yep.
But it's going to hurt it worse if you wait.
Yeah, we don't think we can wait anymore. I think we have to do things that are – we have to be proactive on the turn row, so to speak, about things that benefit you on the farm. I've said in times past that I've been here, there is no new miracle in a jug coming down the road to bail you out. Sorry, there's not. And even if there are, you can't afford them here anyway. Again, right. They're built for the Midwest. They're not built for us. They're built for 250 bushel corn, and they're built for 70 bushel soybeans. They're not built for 20 bushel wheat and one bale cotton. I'm sorry.
Yeah. What's up? You're involved with a lot of people around here, I found out, with growing corn.
Yeah.
What's the average yield corn in our corn growing area?
Well, for Oklahoma?
Well, like
around here?
Around here.
Well.
Non-irrigated, just
dry
land.
Yeah, dry land. This last year, a year ago in 2020, most of it burned up.
Right.
Okay.
I remember.
All right. 2021, we were about a week to 10 days away from burning up again, and we started raining in July.
Yep.
The worst yield that I had was 88 bushel, and the best yield I had, dry land, was 143 over at Colony.
That's pretty good.
It's really good on $5.85 corn.
80 bushel is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that works really well. And you're done with that in August. I mean, you're cutting it in August.
Right.
Corn has we have the varieties now and the technology now in corn to make that work pretty well. You have to pick the year that it works pretty well for you. And you need to pick a variety and the technology and the maturity dates. You don't want to put 110 or 15-day corn out dry land. You need to pull that back to a 98 to 105-day corn, and you have a chance then, a better-than-average chance in most years, to harvest a crop and make a good yield.
Well, that example you just said, for this year, you were a week or 10 days away from burning up and you got that rain. If you would have had the long variety in that situation, would have made it even with that one rain?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think you would have, it would have burnt at tassel. Even if it had made it, your yields probably would not have beat the 100-day corn, the 102-day corn. It wouldn't have beat it. So there's no reason to pay the money for the 115, 16, 17.
Well, I didn't realize how much corn was actually grown south of here and, yeah, and over in Custer County, too.
Yeah.
You know, I went down to Hobart one day, and I was just like, where'd all this corn come from?
Yeah, it has really taken off in the last few years. Because we have the dryland varieties, we have a few varieties that are tough enough to take it. But, you know, they have to have a rain, too.
Yes, yeah.
And whenever you get into that tassel stage, that's a big pull on nutrition and big pull on water, so you've got to have it.
Well, let me take a break, and we'll come back and we'll finish up.
Okay.
Been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO, and I'm talking to Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, December 2nd. We're expecting 4,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Anoka, got 80 steers and heifers of 450, wean 30 days. Seedling, 56 steers and heifers, wean 450 to 6. Thomas got 30 steers, 5.5, their wean. Clinton, 45 steers and heifers, 5 to 650, their wean. Shallow water, Texas, 110 steers and heifers, 4 to 650, weaned. Arkansas, 30 steers and heifers, 5 to 6, wean. Chattuck, 30 heifers at 3, their wean. Elk City, 100 steers and heifers, 4 to 6, they're off the cow. From Shamrock, Texas, 73 steers, 6 to 7. Jacksboro, Texas, 56 steers and heifers at 6. Arnett got 125 steers and heifers, 7.5. Bear, Texas, 78 steers and heifers, 6 to 7. Jacksboro, Texas, 37 steers and heifers, 5 to 7. Moreland, 127 steers and heifers at 7. Fort Spy, 137 steers, 7.5 to 8. Arkansas, 30 steers and heifers at 9. Fairview got 70 steers and heifers, 5.5 to 6.5. Fort Spy, 90 steers, 75. Sealing, 55 heifers and 128 steers, 5 to 7. Blacks, nice weaned. Again, we're expecting 4,000 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. After this week, there's 2 more weeks of sales, then closed for 2 weeks. Our last sale this year will be Thursday, December the 16th. We had a very good cow market on Tuesday, 3 to 5 higher again on the killing cows, 7 to 10 higher on the bulls. Remember, we work 100% for the seller. Whether you've got one head or 2,000 head, we get the most we can for every head. We'll see you this Thursday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Still 63 degrees. The wind is calm. That's just so hard to say in Western Oklahoma.
It sure is.
It's just hard to say. Our Hobart Farm and Garden Live Long Ranger, not live, but the Long Ranger forecast is this afternoon we're going to get up to 73, and we got 10 more degrees to go to get there. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 78 with wet southwest winds 6 to 15 miles an hour. Might be a little gusty tomorrow, but it's pretty normal. Friday, sunny 77, winds 6 to 10 miles an hour, back to calm winds. Saturday, highs 59, so there's a little cold front coming in, but no chance of moisture in that forecast there. Sunday, sunny, high near 67. Monday, high near 57. So Tuesday, back up to 70 degrees. So, I mean, it's just, There's not even enough there for a roller coaster. 59, we'll still wear shorts out here. So anyway, that's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in here. And we've been talking about soil sampling. We've been talking about fertilizers. And then I got sidetracked on the corn, so that's my fault. But, hey, I like talking about ag.
And it's, you know, corn's one of those crops we can grow out here now. We have the varieties that'll work, and some of them are tough enough to take our climate.
Yep.
And the wind and all. So, you know, it's another option. If I was going to do that, I would make sure I was using the same planter I used for my cotton. I would have a stripper and a header with the same row spacing on it so that everything worked. And corn is another option for now, you know, as long as the price stays hooked up.
Well, south of Elk, south of Triggers, I think it was Dale Kinnemer's, had some corn there the year before last, and he needed that one rain. But I was surprised the corn he made is being as dry as it did. Mm-hmm. That caught me. I was like, that ain't got a chance. And they were putting it in the truck.
Yeah, that was seed I sold him.
Oh, really?
Yep. And a year ago, it was tough. I mean, yeah. His monitor showed was making from 0 to 50 bushels all in the same field,
right?
And this year he made somewhere around 95.
Oh, I was going to say this year, yeah. that was some of the best looking corn, yeah, I've ever seen in Oklahoma, and that ain't much. I mean, there's a bunch up in the Panhandle and up north around Enid and stuff, but for out here,
yeah, we have just now gotten the varieties that will work out here. And the technology to keep the earworm from just eating it to the ground for you.
Yeah. Right.
So we have those technologies now. Corn seed is high like cotton seed, but it's not stupid crazy high.
Right.
And the planting rates that you plant, you can do it reasonably. I mean, you can get all the way through the combine with a crop of corn for $135 an acre. Well, if you can, if the price is $5 or above on corn, and it was this year, and you can make a pretty good profit.
Yeah.
In a short period of time.
And you need to make everything you can nowadays.
Absolutely.
Well, what else we got going on?
Okay, so in the face of this no pasture thing we have going on right now because of no rainfall, SEI Agritech became a livestock nutrition center distributor about a year ago.
Yep. We talked about it here a couple weeks ago.
Right. And we're going to have a lunch and learn on December 16th at 12 noon at SEI Agritech at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. The cost of admission is listening to me talk for about 5 minutes, and then the LNC reps talk for 15 minutes, and then we're going to eat.
Did Dave's talk go towards that purchase?
No, it didn't. And they'll have some really good information on feeding cattle with what we're facing now with higher feed cost, no pasture, and all those kinds of things. If you have a desire to go to that, please RSVP so we can get a meal planned. The phone number for SEI Agritech is 580-225-0317. And come and see if we can learn something together and just visit with each other. Maybe somebody knows something that the other guy doesn't that will help your neighbor out a little bit. Because right now, this is us against them, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And I go to a few coffee shops every morning on the way here. I learn something all the time.
Yeah, so I tend to avoid them.
No, but they, I didn't say it was an ag that I learned about.
Oh, that's true.
And that was at what time on the 16th?
12 o'clock noon.
12 o'clock noon.
We'll have probably a short PowerPoint presentation.
Yep.
It'll be in my, in the top warehouse, the first warehouse right behind the office. And, we'll sit down and eat lunch and go from there. And we will not be serving reindeer. It's too close to Christmas.
Oh.
We have to have the reindeer for present deliveries.
Oh, so, I got you.
So we will not be serving reindeer.
Well, the price of beef's getting nowadays. It's good and it's bad.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I think that my opinion is that beef is last to the party as far as commodities going higher.
Right.
But I think they're going to be higher going into the spring.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a plus for us going forward.
It's going to be a plus. It's way overdue.
Yeah.
It's way overdue because there's people don't think about how much it costs to raise cattle. It's not going to the feed store and buying feed. It's not working your cow. You're tying up land to baby those things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, cow-calf guy easily will have $400 per head in carrying that cow for a year.
Yeah.
Easily 400 and probably realistically more than that.
I laugh at some guys at the sale barn that must be weekend warriors or just rancher hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And I can buy this cow here. She's bred. I have my money back next year, and I just got to laugh.
No, I don't think so.
Did you forget you had to feed it? Did you forget you had to make that land payment?
Right.
Did you forget about that truck you put fuel in?
Yeah.
I just giggle at all that stuff because, used to you talk to the old-timers, which most of the old-timers I'm talking about are gone, and God bless them, and they never included their time and their fuel and their expenses on whether it was farming or ranching cattle. And it's just nowadays guys are doing it, and it's getting a wake-up call.
Yes, it is. I remember 30 years ago or more, my father-in-law was figuring the cost of putting in a crop of wheat. He had it all figured up, and I said, I just looked at his paper, and I said, well, what about your time and your fuel? And he said, boy, you just got to throw all that in. Well, and I said, okay.
No, you don't. It's 69 here, but this gentleman said it's 71 in Cheyenne. Well, you guys heat up a little hotter on that red shale up there.
They're closer to the sun.
Yeah, they're closer to the sun. But anyway, well, they're closer to Frank Lucas. It was on here yesterday. And I got a lot. And thank you, crowd, for listening yesterday. I got a lot of good feedback from everybody with Frank being on here yesterday. He actually was a good politician. He answered my questions.
Well, that's good.
There wasn't no around the beating around the bush. So anyway, thanks for listening yesterday, and thanks for listening today. And we still got a few minutes. Yep. Let's go back and talk about corn.
Okay. All right. So it's a good – if you have the rainfall going in on a dry land acre, and I'm not talking about putting it on the side of a hill somewhere. I'm talking about a reasonable farm. We have the varieties that will work. We have the technology – in worm control that will work.
And that comes in the seed now?
It comes in the seed now.
Yep.
Yes. And also root worms, but we don't have a root worm problem here because we haven't been corn on corn for 50
years. Right.
So we don't have that. We don't need that horsepower yet. So there's no reason to pay for that horsepower. But these dry land varieties, if you choose the right one and are lucky, fortunate enough to get the right rain at the right time, you can make a crop, and as long as corn prices are good, it is a viable crop, and it is something a guy ought to think about.
Yep.
I mean, if you're thinking about milo, think about corn too.
Right.
It's just they're kind of cousins, so where one works, the other one can. Now, we're in years past, corn wasn't even consideration here because, again, they weren't built for us. They were built for the Midwest. We didn't have varieties that could take our environment here. Now we do.
Is there more sorghum being planted nowadays?
There's less and less sorghum being planted. And really and truly, milo, this is not milo country. It does not cool off enough here at night to make really good milo. I've seen a lot of fields that looked like 100 bushel, and when you stick the corn header in the field, it turns into 45 really fast,
right.
And it's very disappointing.
Right.
So milo is just an okay – I mean, milo's never been much And you can tell that because they've never done any work with Milo on the technology side to make it better.
Gotcha.
So it's just another crop.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
For coming in, and always love talking to you. And we timed that right. You hear that music?
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. We ate up the whole hour talking about ag. Imagine that on Today in Ag. We're talking about ag. So anyway, you guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed the show today. I had Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech on, and it's God bless you guys. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Non-stop music.
I love your music because it's such a wide range.
This is KECO Elk City.
This is a Fox News alert. COVID's new variant has arrived in the U.S. I'm Lisa Brady. Moments ago, the CDC releasing a statement that the California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health have confirmed the first case of the Omicron variant in the United States. Someone who had been traveling and just returned to California from South Africa. Now, just before this news, President Biden telling reporters the jury is still out on how severe the variant is, how quickly it can spread, or how effective existing vaccines are against it.
The best protection against Omicron is getting a booster shot.
He says about 135 million Americans are eligible for boosters, but just 40 million have gotten one so far. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying just moments ago the first Omicron patient in the U.S., again, a traveler in California, had been fully vaccinated. He did not know whether that person had had a booster shot yet. The CDC wants tighter restrictions on air travelers entering the country, including a negative COVID test the day before for everyone, instead of allowing a 3-day window for vaccinated travelers.